The Shape of a Shell Slowly Examined, written by Keiko Demonia and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars The Clone Wars fic, rated for general audiences, in which no archive warnings apply, and it is part of the RCAU Open Skies series. I wish we had a festival like this at home, Numa chirps, gazing up at the orange banners waving in the breeze. Holding her hand, Waxer grins down at her as he replies in real, "Yeah, it's fun. I like the colors." Looking at Boyle on her other side, Waxer adds more quietly and basic, "Kinda like 212th, huh?" Boyle smiles softly, nodding, shifts the bags he's carrying to one arm, reaches out to lay his free hand on the back of Waxer's neck for a moment, squeezing gently. To Numa, he says, "We can come back next year if you want to." Distracted by two performers juggling in the shade of a large banner up ahead, Numa smiles and nods. "Okay." Painted with designs that resemble a local medicinal flower that blooms in autumn, banners of all sizes are strung across Lesu's over-city streets. Many shops are decorated with similar designs, either as paint on the display windows or cutout shapes hanging from mobiles that sway in the warm breeze. While the people of Nabat mark the beginning of autumn on the first of seventh month, it's not really a holiday. Lesu, however, holds a day-long festival, and with Numa's ninth birthday in just a few days, Waxer and Boyle asked Neelam about taking her on an overnight trip to see it. So, after landing in the spaceport this morning, they've been wandering around the city enjoying seasonal foods, watching performances, and perusing all sorts of autumn-themed goods for sale. At one jewelry stall, Numa spent so much time looking at a set of ear cone adornments that neither Boyle nor Waxer could resist buying them for her. The orange and yellow pieces of metal are shaped like flowers and dangle off of her ear cones, shimmering every time she walks through a patch of sunlight. They really are pretty, and Numa seems to like how they feel. She keeps turning her head this way and that to shake them. The three of them stop near a circle of onlookers gathered around the jugglers, and Waxer scoops Numa up, letting her sit on his shoulders so she can see better. They've only been watching the impressive display of dexterity and reflexes for a minute or so when she reaches down to tap his collarbone. "Wax, I see some Nera," she hisses in real. Waving at Boyle, she adds, "Bo, look, over by the street lamp." Craning his neck, Waxer spots two clones just down the street. They're standing in front of a stall that sells candy and are gesturing at a vendor in a way that's very familiar to Waxer. If he had to guess, he'd say they don't speak much, if any, real. "Come on," Waxer says, glancing at Boyle as he switches to clearly enunciated basic. "Let's say hi." Boyle nods, continuing in basic. "Numa, maybe you can help them with real?" She eagerly agrees, and Waxer lets her down so she can lead them through the crowd. Ever since their trip to Zob, then Tico and Wobble's visit, Numa has been a lot more confident speaking basic and more determined to improve her skills. Sometimes, when she's with Waxer and Boyle, she even switches between languages without prompting. And Neelam has mentioned that she's been trying to teach more words and phrases to her cousins. When Numa is within a few meters of the candy stall, she hesitates, looking back at Waxer and Boyle. The other clones don't seem to notice her, as they're too busy pointing at containers of brightly colored sweets, while the vendor scoops out different amounts and pours them into small flimsy bags. Making a little shooing motion with one hand, Boyle offers her a reassuring smile. "Go on, Masarine." She wrinkles her nose playfully and turns away, practically bouncing up to the candy stall. Glancing at Boyle, Waxer grins. He never grows tired of seeing Numa meet new Nera. Boyle's answering smile is more restrained but no less fond as they stop a few paces away from the stall. "Excuse me," Numa says in accented basic. The two brothers look down at her, seeming a little startled as she continues. "I speak a little basic. Can you, do you want my helping? My help?" They both scan the crowd as if looking for some adult Twi'leks following after her, so Waxer smiles and waves. After a moment of bewilderment, the brothers catch on and turn their attention back to Numa. "Yes, please," the one with longer hair and some small facial tattoos says, standing on tiptoe to speak to the vendor, who seems amused by the whole situation. Numa interprets for him and the two clones. That gives Waxer a moment to observe the newcomers, and he's quick to note that neither of them is carrying any visible weapons. Knowing that these brothers feel safe enough to wander around an unfamiliar city unarmed is... it's good. like a pleasant ache in his chest, and he reaches out to take Boyle's hand. Squeezing his fingers lightly, Boyle shifts closer to Waxer while they wait. Both clones are wearing civvies that look well used, without a lot of layering, so they must have come here expecting warm weather. The clone who first spoke to Numa is missing the last two fingers on his right hand at the second knuckle, and while most of his hair is nearly shoulder length, the left side of his head appears to be buzzed down to almost nothing. Some of the brother's long, thick curls fall on that side, though, so Waxer isn't sure how far the shaved area extends. While Waxer doesn't get a good look at the tattoos around the clone's left eye, he notes that the other brother has large gear-like symbols tattooed all over his neck, disappearing down into his collar. His haircut is similar to Wooly's, but his scalp isn't completely shaved. Instead, the longer curls on top fade into a short buzz on the sides, which connects to a neatly trimmed beard and mustache. The clone's hair seems to be a touch lighter than that of most brothers, but in the bright sunlight, it's hard to tell. By the time Numa is done interpreting, which, given her proficiency in basic, still involved a lot of gesturing, Waxer's cheeks nearly hurt from smiling. With a soft smile and a few quiet words, the bearded brother hands Numa a small bag of candy, and she thanks him before hurrying to show Waxer and Boyle. Letting go of Boyle's hand, Waxer crouches down. "That was so nice, Nunu," he says in real. "You did a great job." When he pulls her into a quick hug, she huffs and squirms, so he plants a loud kiss on her cheek. "Ew," she whines, mock annoyed, as she shoves away from him and wipes at her face. Boyle is already introducing himself to the other clones, clasping their forearms in turn, and Waxer goes next, followed by Numa. The bearded brother is named Feather, and the one with longer hair, whose tattoos consist of a ring of small triangles radiating from his left eye, is Ashix. With the rest of the introductions finished, Boyle bends to murmur something to Numa, who nods and grins before reaching into her candy bag to offer him a piece. He pops it into his mouth, humming a pleased sound, while they all move away from the vendor's stall so as not to block traffic. "Thank you again, Numa," Ashix says brightly. "I don't like chewy candies, so I was having trouble explaining that, but you saved me." With that, he tips his head back and tosses a candy piece in the air before catching it in his mouth. Numa, who seemed to get the gist of Ashix's words, laughs and proceeds to try to imitate him, losing about 5 candies in a row before she finally catches one. Frowning down at the dropped pieces, she laments in real, "Too bad Pala isn't here." Chuckling, Boyle rests his free hand on her lucky wrap. "More food for the ants, right, Masarine?" he says, mostly in basic. That seems to cheer her up, and she smiles even more brightly when Ashix gestures at her ear cones. "Those are so pretty," Ashix says, speaking slowly. "Wax and Bo gives me for today," Numa informs him, preening. Turning to Feather, Ashix elbows him and says, "We should get our ears pierced." Brow furrowed, Feather tugs at one earlobe before shrugging. "Sure, we don't have to worry about wearing our buckets all the time anymore, and hard hats don't cover our ears, so..." He nods, offering Ashix a faint smile. "Where do you two work?" Waxer asks. "That you need hard hats, I mean." Tucking a lock of hair behind his ear, Ashix replies, "We repair ships and huge farm equipment on Carlinus. It's near Naboo, and there's a ton of agriculture there. Good way to use our skills without being stuck in a city. How about you two?" Waxer explains that they do odd jobs around Nabat, fly supply runs between town and Lesu, scout the region for signs of trouble, and occasionally help the Zindulas with recon. "Were you two ARFs, then?" Ashix asks. Nodding, Boyle answers, "Yeah, we were in the 212th and went to ARF training about 8 months into the war. We ended up with our own platoons eventually, so we switched off a lot between scouting and regular officers' duties." He grimaces faintly at that. As much as Boyle cared about the men under him and was both a good sergeant and lieutenant, he never seemed to be entirely comfortable with the responsibility. "Are you batchmates?" Feather asks softly. So far, he hasn't been nearly as talkative as Ashix. Boyle shakes his head. "No, we met early on, right after Genosis. Got put in the same squad." Pausing at that, Ashix and Feather regard Waxer and Boyle with matching looks of sympathy. The two of them seem young, perhaps around the same generation as Brass. But any clone who wasn't at the first Battle of Genosis seems to react like this when they learn that Waxer and Boyle fought there. Waxer would rather the conversation doesn't shift that way, though, so he sways to press his shoulder against Boyle's, asking, "What about you two?" "Yeah, batchmates," Ashix answers, turning his head to look at Feather, and his expression softens into a warm smile. "And we were able to stay together as combat engineers in the 38th. We handled repairs, though. Didn't do much vehicle or weapon operation. So I lost these." Lifting his right hand, he wiggles his fingers to show off the two shortened ones. "Piece of an engine fell and... splat." What's happened? Numa squawks in Basic, her eyes focused on the missing fingers. Assuming she lost track of the conversation because of all the specialized terminology, Waxer explains more slowly, with simpler words. Ashix and Feather were soldiers who fixed things. They fixed walkers and big, big blasters. Ashix said a heavy piece fell on his hand. Numa gasps, looking between her own fingers and Ashix's missing ones in fascination. There or her is better, Ashix says. Waxer blinks. Huh? Running a hand through his hair, Ashix explains, I don't really care with brothers because we're all just he, you know? But with Natborns, I like they or she better, so I've been trying to remember to tell people that, just when it comes up. Blinking again, Waxer finally realizes what Ashix is saying. Oh! He shakes his head once and smiles, a little chagrined. Sorry, I didn't realize what you meant at first. With a snort and a grin, Ashix waves his, there, hand. It's fine. That was kind of a non sequitur after talking about getting my hand squashed. They, or maybe she, laugh, and Feather slants a fondly amused look at her, snickering. Waxer can't help but join in, chuckling. All right, good point. Huffing his own subdued version of a chuckle, Boyle sobers after a moment and asks, So, which one is better? He slips the hand that isn't carrying the bags into his pocket, adding, We've met some Natborns who use they, but I don't think anyone has mentioned options. Raising his eyebrows, he looks at Waxer. Waxer shakes his head. Don't think so. Ashix shrugs. Either one. I just don't like how limited things feel when Natborns call me he. I don't know, it's hard to explain. But like I said, I don't mind when brothers use he. That's totally different. Okay, Waxer says, nodding. He isn't sure he understands, but he really doesn't need to. Numa has shuffled between him and Boyle, hanging on to Boyle's arm. With all the rapid-fire Basic going over her head, she looks like she's getting bored and impatient. Figuring they should explain all of this to her, especially because she's not a brother, Waxer opens his mouth to do so when Boyle beats him to it. Let me just tell Numa, he says, before looking down at her and switching to real. Did you understand what Ashix said? Humming thoughtfully, Numa replies in real. Something about a girl and Nera and Natborns, but I don't know, you were all talking too fast. Sorry, Nunu, Waxer offers, reaching down to squeeze her shoulder. Boyle clears his throat and takes a breath like he's trying to gather his thoughts. So, you know how we call Rania they instead of he or she? When Numa nods, he continues, Well, we should call Ashix they or she, not he, okay? Numa's brows furrow, and she glances at four identical faces. But I thought, if you're all Nera, then... For clones, Boyle clarifies, using the Basic word. We're all he with each other, but, That doesn't mean we're boys or girls or anything, Waxer chimes in. For us, if we're talking to other Nera or about them, then he just means clone. Waxer has no idea if that made sense to anyone but him. This isn't something he's ever thought about, but now that he has, he realizes that he means two very different things when applied to a clone or to a Natborn. Like he told Numa, among clones, he just means other clone. And Waxer has never really considered himself a man like a Natborn human is a man. He's just a clone, a person who is a clone. Of course, anytime he refers to non-clones, he uses whatever words are appropriate for them. Sometimes that means he has to ask, which doesn't come naturally, but almost nothing with Natborns comes naturally, so that's not much different. Waxer has never met a brother who wanted to be called anything other than he before, but with millions of their people all over the galaxy, living all kinds of different lives and spending time around so many varied cultures and species, maybe it was inevitable that some would. After a moment of silence, Numa asks, So, for clones, she says, emphasizing the Basic word, he is kinda like Nima. Waxer opens his mouth, blinks, and closes it, considering. Nima is a real word that's similar to Nera and Numa, brother and sister, respectively, though their meaning isn't limited to blood relations. It's often used to refer to groups of people, to those whose gender isn't clear, or for people like Rania, who isn't a man or a woman specifically, but a Twi'lek, a person who is a Twi'lek. Huh, Boyle huffs. Yeah, kinda. And a little bit like they, since that can refer to anyone. Numa nods slowly. Okay, so... Looking up at Ashix, she switches to Basic. You're a brother and a sister? Both? Or between? Yeah, Ashix says, smiling down at her. Exactly. The end. Well, I would like to hold my little hand. How we will run with, how we will cry. Ever since their trip to Zob, then Tico and Wobble's visit, while the vendor scoops out different amounts and pours them into small flimsy bags. Which, given her proficiency in baking, still involved a lot of gesturing, Ashik shrugs.